ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, entitled Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, text number 35. Yava kajitvamabale Dishtya sandarshanam tava Utsuno kushikshamananam Kanduga kridaya manaha Yava kajitta mabale Dishtya sandarshanam tava Utsuno shikshamananam Kanduga kridaya manaha Yava kajitta mabale Dishtya sandarshanam tava Usuno shikshamananam Kanduga kridaya manaha Yava kajitta mabale Dishtya sandarshanam tava Usuno shikshamananam Kanduga kridaya manaha Word to word translation. Ya, whosoever, va, or, kachit, anyone, tvam, you, abale, O beautiful girl, dishtya, by fortune, sandarshanam, seeing, tava, of you, usnoshi, you agitate, ikshamanana, of the onlookers, kanduka, with a ball, kridaya, by play, manaha, the mind. Translation. Whosoever you may be, O beautiful girl, we are fortunate in being able to see you. While playing with a ball, you have agitated the minds of all onlookers. Purport by His Divine Grace S.E. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Demons arrange many kinds of performances to see the glaring beauty of a beautiful woman. Here it is stated that they saw the girl playing with a ball. Sometimes the demoniac arrange for so-called sports like tennis with the opposite sex. The purpose of such sporting is to see the bodily construction of the beautiful girl and enjoy a subtle sex mentality. This demoniac sex mentality of material enjoyment is sometimes encouraged by so-called yogis who encourage the public to enjoy sex life in different varieties and at the same time advertise that if one meditates on a certain manufactured mantra, one can become God within 6 months. The public wants to be cheated and Krishna therefore creates such cheaters to misrepresent and delude. These so-called yogis are actually enjoyers of the world garbed as yogis. Bhagavad Gita, however, recommends that if one wants to enjoy life, then it cannot be with the gross senses. A patient is advised by the experienced physician to refrain from ordinary enjoyment while in the diseased condition. A diseased person cannot enjoy anything. He has to restrain his enjoyment in order to get rid of the disease. Similarly, our material condition is a diseased condition. If one wants to enjoy real sense enjoyment, then one must get free of the entanglement of material existence. In spiritual life, we can enjoy sense enjoyment which has no end. The difference between material and spiritual enjoyment is that material enjoyment is limited. Even if a man engages in material sex enjoyment, he cannot enjoy it for long. But when the sex enjoyment is given up, then one can enter spiritual life, which is unending. In the Bhagavatam 5.5.1, it is stated that Brahma Saukhya, spiritual happiness, is ananta, unending. Foolish creatures are enamored by the beauty of matter and think that the enjoyment it offers is real, but actually that is not real enjoyment. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्जनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. भूतैर्महाद्भिर्य इमा पुरो विभु निर्मायश्चेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे. हरे कृष्ण. दिस् पर्पोट् इस् वेरि पवर्फुल् because this purport explains the root cause of material existence and how and why this material existence is going on from time immemorial. So this purport addresses the issue and also it gives a solution and what is the alternative to material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada very strongly makes a statement that the demons, they make different kinds of arrangement for sense gratification, which is grounded upon the sex life. So it's a very strong statement. If you try to see the history of mankind, we may be very proud that we have advanced technologically. And in fact, it is very interesting to see that we have gone through many revolutions. Not social revolutions, but technological revolutions. Many different kinds. Currently, maybe we are running the fourth generation of revolution. So it is going on. Probably in the 18th century, there was mechanization, which was based on steam and water. So that changed the whole world because so much of mechanization took place. Then in the 19th century, it again changed to the usage of electricity. Then there was another revolution, practically speaking, because the mass production was there. So anyone can be produced much easily, different products, and there is a huge market and huge supply, and it has to match the demand. So everything was provided. Then in the 20th century, that is, you know, the last century, there was a development in the sector of agriculture because that was a result of industrial revolution, which was going on for few hundred years. So as a result of that, there was a heavy mechanization in the agriculture field, and that resulted in mass production of food, and starvation was no more a problem, And later part of last century saw information revolution by the development of, the development of electronics, development of chips, then the development of internet. And now they want to combine everything. The combination of artificial intelligence, the combination of computer science, the combination of electronics, the combination of nanotechnology, the combination of biotechnology. So they want to combine everything. So it is going in a different dimension. So apparently we are in the fourth generation in terms of industrial revolution, in terms of technological revolution. However, the base values of human beings has degraded. It hasn't evolved, but it is degraded. Say, for example, internet is such a common thing, and the networking is the basis for everything, if you see. If you see any sector practically speaking in this world, everything is based on networking in an internet, based on the computers. But if you consider the internet in itself, what is the maximum use of internet? Anyone knows? Maximum use of internet in terms of the amount of data that has been transmitted or that are being transmitted between the people, the maximum amount is used for pornography. So if we try to see that so much of research has been gone through, so much of generations of industrial revolution has been taken place, but as the end result, we can see the maximum data that has been used is for pornography. So where are we at? One can understand, it is not a human evolution, but it is a degradation of the consciousness. So this is what is going on, and Srila Prabhupada here makes a statement. Here it is stated that they saw the girls playing with balls. Sometimes the demoniac arranged for so-called sports like tennis with the opposite sex. The purpose of such sporting is to see the bodily construction of the beautiful girl and enjoy a subtle sex mentality. The Prabhupada is very straight on. What is the mentality of people? And we can see currently that it is prevalent. Not only in the external world, not in the outside world, but even in the virtual world, it's the same thing. There are real life games where you identify with a character, so you are not the same person, but you are completely identifying a character, a virtual character. Then you work, you can party, you can earn money. So these kind of games are there. So many of the teens go through this kind of games. And when they make money, it was interviewed, what do they use money for? And what is the purpose? So they said, even in the virtual game, they want to enjoy sex. So they are not doing, actually the character within the virtual world is performing this activity and the teens are into it. See, so there is already, Prabhupada is presenting the whole attraction between man and woman. It is, it is fundamentally grounded on illusion. So that is the outside world. And there is a mental illusion, we'll talk about that. And on top of that, even in the virtual reality, it's a virtual illusion. It's an illusion. And in that also, people want to perform the same activity. So this is material existence where delusion is propagating more and more. Now, since so much of overpowering impressions that are coming from so many kinds of advertisements, different medias, what we can see in this world. So people are mentally desensitized. The sensitivity is gone because the attraction and the activity of this is very gross, and that can actually remove all the finer feelings of human beings. A person who has practically gone through such kind of a lifestyle, which is self-destructive, he is no more sensitive. For example, a man who has gone through such kind of a lifestyle, so much of clubbing, so much of intoxication, then that person, he is not sensitive anymore. He doesn't have much finer feelings. So when one comes to Krishna consciousness, one has to actually revive from such kind of a situation. One has to come to a normal human platform. Mind has to become normal. And then one can actually be sensitive. Because bhakti means it is about sensitivity. Because we are sensitive to the devotees, we are sensitive to the process of bhakti, we are sensitive to the desires of the spiritual master, the devotees and Krishna. It's a very sensitive process. We have to be sensitive to things. If you see the whole sadhachar, whole Vaishnava etiquette, if you see, it is about being sensitive to persons, being sensitive to the situations, being sensitive to the desires and instructions of Krishna. So when actually goes through this over bombardment of sense gratification, one becomes completely desensitized. So the mind is very rough. One may be very polished in the attire, but inside it is pretty much demoniac. That is mentioned here in this purport. So it is such an intense world we are at. And when you see the Vedic tradition, okay, it is all based on brahmacharya. We'll talk that later. It's all based on brahmacharya. It's all based on celibacy. It is exactly opposite to what is going on in this world. So it is mentioned, you know, there are different kinds of brahmacharya. You know, there is Savitra, there is Prajapatya, there is Brahma, there is Naishtika. There are four kinds of brahmacharya is defined. So even if you see the basic brahmacharya, which is called the Savitra, it is after initiation, one is advised to be a brahmachari at least for 3 nights. That's the minimum. But we have to understand, they were not going through this Vedic brahmacharis, they were not going through such kind of an over-indulgence in sense gratification before taking it to initiation. Then still, they are advised to follow at least 3 days of brahmacharya. So this is the Vedic tradition. It is quite different from what we can see now. However, Prabhupada is making it very clear that it's not the sense gratification which is external, but there is whole mental plane of sense gratification. There is a mental sex life. So that is given in this purport. One wants to enjoy mentally. If we really try to see, the real enjoyment is in the mind. And mind has immense capacity. There was one study done in which men were interviewed, and they wanted to find how frequently one is thinking about this particular activity, about sex life. So it is mentioned in 10 to 15 minutes, one is thinking about that. It's a frequency of 10 to 15 minutes. A man's mind is lingering onto this activity. So this is the situation of the human beings currently. So what kind of sense control one has? Think about that. You know, every 10 or 15 minutes, one is thinking about that. And what is the capacity of the mind? Capacity of the mind is immense, because we are going through 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. Think about that, 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. We are thinking so much. So this is giving a contrast between the mental activity and the physical activity. Physical activity, how many we are doing compared to the mental activity? Mental activity is so immense, so many in numbers. And in that also, many are directed towards this one particular activity. About sense gratification in general, when we talk about subtle sex life, Prabhupada uses this word, subtle sex life. It has both literal meaning and also it has general meaning. Generally, it means, Prabhupada said, the whole material creation, big buildings in New York City, Srila Prabhupada thought, everything is based on sex life. Why everything is there? Because everything for sex life, Prabhupada mentioned. So we had to understand the term lust. It's everything is based on lust. So there it has a important meaning of lust. That is, it is the intense greed, intense desire for sense gratification. So the whole Manhattan, it is based on lust. Everything is based on karma. It is based on lust. It is based on sex desire. So there it specifically means that it is based on the intense greed for sense gratification. And at the same time, there is a literal meaning also. It is Maithuna. It's Maithuna Aghara. It's the prison of Maithuna. It's the prison of attraction between the opposite sex. That is the whole material world. That makes one work. That makes one do things. Everything is based on one activity. Many times if a man is not responsible, especially in the Indian tradition, they get them married to become responsible. Then he get things together and start working. Otherwise, he doesn't want to do. He wants to just do whatever he wants. He wants to do nothing. But when there is a responsibility in terms of association with the opposite sex, then one has to do things. So there's a way to make one responsible. So it happens. So here, if you see, people don't want to take responsibilities and want to just enjoy. So that is the modern civilization. It is just enjoyment and no responsibilities. So people think that can bring happiness, but the reality is exactly opposite. It doesn't happen. If it was true, then there would have been a lot of happy people in this world because people have unrestricted sense gratification. People can do so many things, anything. Senses are wild, it is open, do what you want to do. But still, it's not happening, right? In fact, when we talk about the capacity of the mind, there is a story in which Yudhishthir Maharaj was questioned by the Yaksha, right in Mahabharata. We can see he was in front of a lake and he wanted to take some water. And this Yaksha said, okay, if you answer all my questions, then I can free you. I will help you get all, enliven all your brothers because they were practically unconscious. So I will make them conscious. So one of the questions was, what is the fastest thing in this world? You know, Yudhishthir Maharaj's answer was, it is the mind. Mind is the fastest. So in Brahma Samhita it is mentioned, a yogi can travel, or even if he tries to, usually a yogi can travel at the speed of mind. It's pretty fast, isn't it? The speed of the mind. But one cannot get to Krishna even once travel at the speed of mind. So that is Krishna. Krishna is even beyond that. So even our mind has such a capacity, it can think. Even the yogis can use the mind to travel, astral travel. It is possible. But the spiritual realm is completely different, completely beyond. So if we try to compare our physical action with the activities of the mind, we can see how vast, how deep is the activities of the mind. And in terms of number also, you cannot compare. It is sheerly high in terms of the numbers, number of thoughts that can come in the mind. So such a difference between a physical activity and the capacity of the mind. To the degree that the mind can carry impressions from lifetimes. Not one lifetime, not two, millions of lifetimes. So see the capacity of the mind compared to the capacity of the physical body. You know, even though you have been a bodybuilder for 10 lifetimes, so still, this lifetime, the bodily strength is limited, right? It is very minimal. But consider the impressions that the mind carries. That is much more, right? So the capacity of mind is much, much higher than that of the physicality, right? So there is a huge difference. Now think, something is far, far beyond the mind. So that is a spiritual reality. So physical reality is there, then there is the subtle reality, the mental reality is there, and then there is a spiritual reality. So think about the power of the spiritual reality. It is far superior. Say for example, we can read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis, they enjoyed rasa dance with Krishna in the night. And it is mentioned Krishna made that night equal to the night of Brahma, the duration of the night of Brahma. Think about that. One night, it is apparently a physical night, you know, maybe 12 hours or, you know, 7, 8 hours, whatever it is. So that night was as long as the night of Brahma. Can you understand? So it is life of Brahma, not life of, but night of Brahma, night of Brahma. Such a long time. So there is a Kalpa, which is the day of Brahma, and the night of Brahma. Such a long time. 100 yuga cycles. That is Divya Yuga, referring to Divya Yuga. So 100 yuga cycles, that was one night. So Krishna could fit that one, you know, one Kalpa into one normal physical night. So this is spiritual capacity. So when we go beyond the time, when we go beyond the material time, then the capacity is much higher. Another example we can give. Say, we are as if bound in a sack. Have you seen kids? There's a sack running. Have you heard when you were kids, you know, there is a sack running. Your leg is, you know, pushed inside a sack and then tied, and then you have to run. So you are limited, right? Very much. But now if you remove that sack and if you try running, it's much easier, much efficient. So this is the condition of the spirit soul, which is completely inside a sack. And now, you know, now you are asked to act. So we have limitation. There are physical limitation and we have mental limitations. So this is the material existence, which is completely limited. However, the spiritual abilities and the spiritual capacity and the spiritual world is far, far beyond. in Bharat Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar, he had a special benediction where if he chants the particular Gopal mantra, his desire would be fulfilled immediately. And he had spiritual desire. So it is mentioned when he chanted Gopal mantra at one point and he desired to go to Vaikuntha Loka, which is far beyond the material existence, immediately took place. He was just meditating that, okay, I want to go to the spiritual world, I want to go to the Vaikuntha Loka. Immediately he saw the Vishnu Dutas. They came with the Pushpak Viman to take Gopakumar to the spiritual world. So the spiritual potency is very high. And in that case, Gopakumar had a special benediction that his desire would be fulfilled immediately. Otherwise, we are also chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It has the potency to take us to the spiritual world. But usually we had to wait till the time of death. Then we can go back. But Gopakumar had this special benediction so that he could immediately go. So he was, for example, he was in the earth and he was thinking, I want to see the heavenly planet. Immediately he opened his eyes, he saw himself placed in the heavenly planet. Then he was thinking, maybe heavenly planet is not good, I want to experience devotion in a higher planet. Immediately he was in Janaloka, in Tapaloka, in Brahmaloka. So this is the potency of the spiritual mantra. So the spiritual mantra has all the potencies. And it can come out when the time unfolds. Everything happens as the time progresses. When we are sticking to the process of Krishna consciousness. So again, coming back to the point of sense gratification, the mind has such an immense capacity, and now our immense capacity is diverted towards sense gratification. So mind has this amazing ability to fantasize things. There is no reality, but just fantasy. And we do associate with those fantasies. So we spend a lot of time in our mind. It's a important realization. We spend a lot of time in our mind. In the sense, we may not be physically active, but in our mind, we spend a lot of time. And in that way, we do waste our time. This fantasizing, it is just like kids. They have this soap bubble. They have a soapy water with some colors, and they have this straw, and they can make bubble out of it, right? You know, the bubble actually goes. And the imagination and the fantasies are like that, just like bubbles. Depending on the modes in which we are associated, based on that, we have different kinds of imaginations. If we have different kinds of fantasies. Some are passionate, some are in ignorance, some are in goodness, some are most of them in a combination. So these are just fantasies, just like bubbles. It looks fantastic. And the nature of the mind is that mind gives an impression to us that we cannot live without that. We cannot live without fantasies. And we don't want to get out from that. Mind gives a suffocating feeling. You know what is a suffocating feeling? You know, I cannot live without air. You know, because suffocation, it's such a, you know, such a big thing. You know, it's like, you know, it's such a, it can make us crazy thinking about suffocation. So mind make us think that we are suffocating without fantasies. So mind goes on and we focus ourselves on the mind, and the mind goes in its trip. The only way we can get out from that is coming in touch with reality. Just like a soap bubble which is flying in the air, if it touches with a sharp object, immediately it bursts and there is nothing in it. In the same way, when we come in touch with the reality, then, the fantasies actually goes away. And sometimes it can be just a physical action, anything. If we just get up and do something, the mind actually calms down. But otherwise, the real solution to this fantasizing is Krishna Katha. Because Krishna Katha has two aspects. One is showing the temporary nature of the material world and showing the suffering of the material world and showing how it is temporary and it is not a permanent reality. So that is one aspect of Krishna Katha, revealing the reality of material world. And second is giving the knowledge of the spiritual world. So when we have these kind of fantasies, the knowledge of the reality and bringing that reality to our mind through intelligence helps. Then we can be in the real world. Okay, that was just a waste of time. So this is what is going on in our mind. we are misusing the capacity of the mind. Of course, in the spiritual sense, the mind can be used. We will see that it is very much necessary for our spiritual advancement. It is very much necessary, and we have to engage our mind in Krishna service. We will see that. Srila Prabhupada is here condemning the material civilization which is based on sex life. And in Varnashram Dharma, the whole purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to restrict this enemy lust and to engage in Krishna consciousness, engage in bhakti. So when you take Grihastha, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas, the common principle is that all are fighting against lust, everything in different ways, but everything is fighting against lust. And only in one ashram, sex life is permitted, that too in a restricted way. That is Grihastha ashram, household life. See, out of four ashrams, only one ashram, there is a licensed allowance for sex life. Rest of the ashrams has to be completely free from sex life. So this is the Vedic standard. So on one level, the material civilization is propagating sense gratification and sex life, whereas the Vedic civilization is actually restricting. So Prabhupada gives the example of diet. Because if you want to cure a disease, there has to be a diet. If you don't follow the diet, then the medicines won't work. Especially we can see if you take some Ayurvedic medicine. I'm on some Ayurvedic medicine now. I can see. They say, okay, you can eat this, you cannot eat this. Otherwise, the medicine doesn't work. One time I remember I was on a medicine and I didn't follow the diet. I went on for a few months taking the medicine, but nothing happened. And I was thinking, what's going on? Then I called up the doctor and asked what I am eating and, what is my lifestyle. Then he specifically told, oh, you have to stop this, this, and this. Otherwise, the medicine is not going to work. But immediately, I stopped those stuff, and I could start seeing the result in about 1 or 2 weeks. So, same with the spiritual life. We have to be on a diet. That diet is our regulative principles. So, if you follow the regulative principles, that is, we are okay giving us ourselves the best opportunity to cure the disease of material existence. And of course, the positive activity is there, and that is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, associating with the devotees, worshipping the deities, honoring prasadam. So, both sides. Without that, it is very difficult to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We cannot light the fire and pour water simultaneously. It has no impact. Right, you want to light the fire and throw a bucket of water. That's what is happening even in bhakti. We want a deal in which we want both simultaneously. This is what mind actually wants. I don't mind chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I don't mind hearing Bhagavatam. I don't mind reading. I don't mind worshipping the deities. But on top of that, I want one more thing. I want to indulge in sense gratification. So that's what his mind is demanding. So we want both, hand in hand. How is that hand-in-hand approach? This doesn't work. So if we really want access to bhakti, if we want to really think about Krishna, Savai Manah Krishna Padaravindayo, if we want to really think about Krishna's lotus feet, then we have to give up sense gratification. Not just externally, but also internally. This is our challenge. Yena kena prakarena manah krishna niveshet. Somehow or other. Yena kena prakarena means somehow or other. There is no defined rule, but you can pick anything from bhakti, anything you attracting from bhakti, you can pick anything and fix your mind in Krishna. So this is the essential principle of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, it's not talking about ragana bhakti, it's not talking about bhava bhakti, it's not talking about prema bhakti, but as a sadhaka, we are supposed to think of Krishna all the time. It can be philosophical thoughts, it can be connecting matter to Krishna. For example, if you see a situation, if you witness something, then connecting that to Krishna conscious philosophy, that is perfectly thinking about Krishna. Thinking about our services, that is using mind perfectly in service of Krishna. Or directly thinking Krishna's form, name, qualities or pastimes. Thinking about Krishna. So if we have, as I told about, if we have thoughts which are not beneficial, and which are creating a trouble to our mind. We may not be able to suppress the thoughts, but we can divert the attention to Krishna. Just reciting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra within the mind, it makes a huge difference. The mind is going on its trip. Then just divert. Don't try to wrestle with the mind. Rather, if you just focus on the mantra, which is chanted in the mind, that makes a huge difference. Then the mind actually stops. There are different approaches in controlling the mind. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, you know, you beat the mind morning and evening. One time with the broomstick and one time with the chapal, with the sandals. So that is one kind of treatment of the mind. It is also based on, it actually means chanting. We cannot really beat. There is no literal beating of the mind. If you take the shoes and beat the mind, there is no literal. But if you chant, it is just like beating the mind. So that is one approach. Being heavy on mind. In fact, Bharata Vidya Bhushan, in the commentary to Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, he says that there are different means of control and ruling. There are different means. You know, sama, dana, danda. You know, sama, bheda, dana, danda. There are four means. One is telling sweet words to control someone, giving gifts, divide and rule. And final one is danda. Danda means beating. So, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan says, with respect to mind, don't use the first three methods. Use only one method, that is danda. That is Baladeva's approach. That is to say no. It is difficult. We want to first try to say good words, then try to, you know, pacify, give. We want to give things. But it doesn't work. We may have to do danda, beat the mind and say no. So that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said. Then there is another approach, which was mentioned by Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami says, he prays to the mind. Oh dear mind, just wait. You have done so much. I have done so much for you. For the time being, you just wait. Don't do anything. Let me finish my rounds. After that, I'll take care of you. Currently, give me some time. So that is the next approach. However, Srila Prabhupada's approach is neglect. Prabhupada's approach is neglect. He instructed many times. One devotee asked, what shall I do with our mind when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Prabhupada said, mind? What do you have to use the mind? Just hear. That is neglect, the material mind. We can see the same instruction in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the teachings of Jadabharat. Jadabharat mentions very clearly that the way to control the mind is by neglect and engagement in Krishna service. Two things. One is neglect the mind. When the proposals of the mind comes, no need to try to argue with the mind. Don't start a debate with the mind, but just neglect. Take it to the spiritual activities and engage in Krishna service. So it's a very powerful means of engaging the mind. Now Srila Prabhupada in this purport gives the examples of many false yogis who wants to enjoy sense gratification, and they advise their followers to indulge in sense gratification. In fact, if you see the Vedic tradition allows sense gratification. Right, we have the whole section of Karma Kanda. It allows sense gratification. And if you see the context in which Bhagavatam is presented, or the context in which Bhagavad Gita is presented, or Vedas are presented, we can always see it is presented in the context of Karma, Jnana and Yoga. Right? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself divided Vedas into three. There is Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kanda. So the division is based on this. And if you see Bhagavad Gita, what do you find? Again, the same divisions. And if you see Bhagavatam, the whole bhakti is presented in this context. For instance, in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, in the beginning, the first chapter, where the glories of the holy names are mentioned by presenting the pastime of Ajamal, the context in which bhakti is presented in the context of jnana and karma. So that's why Sukadev Goswami gives the example of, okay, you can do atonement or prayaschitta. If you have done some sinful activities, you can perform atonement by which you can get rid of the reactions. Then, of course, Parikshit Maharaj says, it is just like Kunjara Shauchavat. It is just like taking bath of an elephant. Have you seen elephant taking bath? It's very interesting. It go to a river, goes throw a lot of water on its body. It actually have a good time. Then comes out and then takes the mud and throw all over its body. So what's the use of taking such bath? It's a waste of time. So it's mentioned the atonement, the process of atonement or doing this prayaschitta activities to counteract sins is just like the bath of an elephant. The reason is the core desires are not transformed. So one is performing, one is the approach is, you know, I want to just get out from the situation. Okay, if I do this, I don't get the suffering. So the whole mentality is to remove the suffering. Because the whole material existence, we are trying to do one thing. One is to avoid the suffering and second is to get enjoyment. So the atonement is the same thing. I want to avoid suffering, but there is no transformation of the heart. So Parikshit Maharaj rejected this proposal. So this is referring to the Karmakanda. Second, Sukadeva Goswami presents Gyanakanda, which is study Vedic literature and perform austerities, perform tapa. That is also being rejected because that is just like a bamboo tree. Bamboo tree, if you burn the leaves and the tree itself, it doesn't guarantee that another tree wouldn't sprout. The reason is the roots are within the ground and it can come out. When the favorable circumstance come, it can actually come out. So it is the example of a gyani who may be restricting all the sense gratificatory processes. He is just focusing on Brahmans. But still, when the right time comes, the material desires can again come to the heart. Because there is no transformation, there is no bhakti, there is no loving devotion, because everyone is really looking for love. That is not catered for, so it doesn't work. So finally, bhakti is presented. Kejit kevalaya bhaktiya, vasudeva parayana, akham dhunyandi kasyena, niharam eva bhaskara. So the bhakti is compared to actually twilight. Just like even the twilight can remove all the mist. Similarly, the reflection of bhakti, bhakti in the abhas form, even that can remove all the sinful reactions. So that's why Ajamal, he just chanted Narayan's name, wants to call his sons, but all the sins have been eradicated. Because just by chanting, so that is only abhas, it's not the real bhakti, it is a reflection of the bhakti, even that is sufficient to remove all the sinful reactions. So the point is, here, whenever you see the Vedic literature, it is presented in the context of karma, jnana and yoga. And then bhakti is presented. Because that was the norm then. Now, there is no real karma, right? Only a perverted reflection of karma is there. Say, for example, here we can see the example of yogis. These yogis, they sanction sense gratification. So there was one famous yogi whose philosophy was that you indulge in sense gratification as much as possible. Then you get exhausted with sense gratification and then you can make spiritual advancement. This is exactly opposite to Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Bhagavad Gita says dushparena anelena cha. That is, if you indulge in sense gratification, it's not that you really get exhausted and your desires will go away. Rather, the desires will increase. Just like if you pour oil into fire. Is there any time in which you pour oil to the fire and then the fire is going to extinguish? No, if you give more oil, it's going to burn more. Unlimitedly, practically. So that is material existence. So the so-called yogis, they do these kind of things. That they encourage sense gratification. Why? Because it is a business. I remember in Vijay Prabhu was mentioning that that time there used to be this yogi who used to initiate people and there was a fee for initiation. To get the secret mantra, you had to pay $200 in 70s. So it's a big amount. So people used to make money out of it. So it was a good business. Even in other traditions, still, there are different denominations of churches where the one of the criteria to join the church is you had to give 10% of the salary. 10%, you had 10% of the income you had to give. So they are as they are enrolling one person or one family, they are getting the income, 10% of the income of the whole family. It's a pretty good deal. So the so-called priests, they're having a good time. The so-called churches, they are not grounded in spiritual reality, but it is just acting as a business unit. And they have their franchises, they start different units. Even temples, there are families who maintain themselves by running temples. So they have a temple in one place that is quite successful. They will replicate the same temple elsewhere. And they have, you know, they have their team. So it's like a franchisee, how the multinational corporations are running on franchises. In the same way, the temples and churches do the same thing to make money. So there's no question of preaching. Rather, it is just material advancement in terms of making a lot of money and engaging in sense gratification. So Prabhupada makes it very clear that if we really want enjoyment, we had to give up sense gratification. And then we can come to a spiritual platform. It is gross and subtle. So if we divert our mind from sense gratification, then we can think about Krishna. So the glory of bhakti is that we can engage the things which are not spiritual in service of Krishna. In fact, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, he defines what is the highest intelligence. What is the highest intelligence? He says that the highest intelligence is from temporary, if we can attain something which is permanent, that is the highest intelligence. Say for example, a businessman, a success of a businessman is if he can spend the least and if he can gain the maximum profit out of it, then he's quite successful, right? If he can maximize the profit, then such a businessman is quite successful. Similarly, Krishna says, okay, he is taking it to the extreme that if you can take something which is temporary, which is limited, and if you can get unlimited, that is real intelligence. And what is that? Using this temporary body to get the spiritual body. Because the material body is temporary, and if one can get spiritual body out of this material body, then that is intelligence. That is Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Because Hrishika means senses, which is temporary, it can give us a trouble. But if we use that in service of Krishna, Hrishikesha Sevanam, then it is bhakti. Even to that degree, our acharyas expand this concept to Yukta Vairagya also. It is not just our senses, but things which are in connection to the senses, the sense objects. Even that can be used in service of Krishna without attachment. So that is Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate, that is Yukta Vairagya. It's actually a very, very important aspect in our philosophy, in Gaudiya philosophy, Sri Rupa Goswami presents. So it is not just the senses, we can use the sense objects also in service of Krishna. By that we can purify. So we are the spirit soul, our spiritual body is not yet developed. But the body which we are associating with now, which is both gross and subtle, and the sense objects, can be used in service of Krishna, so that ultimately we can have the spiritual body, and then we can have unlimited happiness. So that is Brahma Saukhyam to Anantam. So it's referring to Rishabhdev 5.5.1. Naham deho deha bhajo kashtan kaman arha devit bhujanye tabo divyam putrakayena sattam shuddhiye yadmas yasmat Brahma Saukhyam to Anantam. So Rishabhdev says, this sense enjoyment, it is just for, you know, even for a hog who eats stew. A stool-eating hog can have the same pleasure. Eating, meeting, sleeping, defending. You know, it can even for a hog. So for human being, one is entitled for Brahma Saukhyam to Anantam, which is unlimited. So how is it possible? By engagement in devotional service, and one is developing one's spiritual body. So that is the whole conclusion of this purport. So on one side, we can see the progression of material civilization, which is degrading one's consciousness. And we can see in the bhakti process, we can rather use everything in service of Krishna and expand our consciousness, come to Krishna consciousness, where there is real happiness. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.